Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free.
Hello everyone and welcome. What a week. Oh my goodness. As you all know, I was on the road traveling, and boy, oh boy, what wonderful people. I have to tell you that since I got involved in the Patriot movement, some of the people that I have met are the most wonderful, patriotic people in the world. And that is one of the things that I like about what I'm doing, because it gets me out to be able to talk to people and to find out what's going on in the different communities. And folks, hold on, because Florida, we are in for a ride. Everyone is going through redistricting right now. That has to be something that was set forth in the Constitution as a result of the census. The lines may be different. So in Florida, like many of the states, you win some seats, you lose some seats. We won a couple of extra seats. Well, Florida became a red state very dramatically. We all know that it is, and we are all behind Governor DeSantis. However, the House and the Senate, which is also GOP, are not. And that is the one that troubles me the most. Our Senate leader, Wilton Simpson, who is running for Commissioner of Agriculture, who shouldn't be Commissioner of Cleaning the Streets after what he did, and the Speaker of the House refused to accept the governor's redistricting map, which would slant Florida 20-8. They want 14-14. Now, think about this, folks. If the Democrats were in the majority in Florida, do you think they'd be pushing for a 14-14 map? I don't think so. So it is up to each one of us right now to call our Florida representative and senator and tell them to sign on to Governor DeSantis' already approved map of 20-8. And it's about time we stood up against those Democrats who are really globalists and have no desire anything other than to destroy America. We cannot allow that to happen. We have to elect good candidates. And that's why this primary is more important than any other primary, because it is the primary where we get the opportunity to get rid of the rhinos. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. Folks, we have to be so careful at the candidates that we put in our house, because as representatives, they're supposed to represent us. They're supposed to represent what we want. But if we don't tell them, how do they know? So that's why choosing the right candidates to run for our Florida House and Senate, just like every other state, is of utmost importance this year. Because if we don't get this election right, I fear we're not going to have any others. Well, I have wonderful news for all of you, and I want all of you to meet a friend of mine who is putting her foot in the ring and running for Florida House. Welcome, Dr. Karen Heltz. Karen, I have known you for a while. What made you decide to run for office?
Well, there's obviously it's not just a one decision or a one issue decision, I should say. I've served in public service. I've served in elected office before, and I was served in the U.S. military. And so service is a part of my DNA, I'll say. And I had people in the community come up to me and ask me to consider running because of the circumstances that we are in, because we, our House of our current representative is deciding to move up to the Senate because our district under redistricting has been provided a new Senate seat. And so the seat, the House seat has become vacant. And so there again, like you said, it's important on who you support and what candidates are running and stuff. And I decided that it was my opportunity to present and represent my district here in Indian River County. And now we are assuming or consuming a portion of Southeast Brevard County as well. Because of my experience and knowledge, I am the fresh face. I am the fresh look. I am the new lens that people can look through. The experience and knowledge that I bring to the table is of very much importance because of my negotiation skills and my ability to deal with some of the issues that we find ourselves in. You mentioned education. You and I, that's how we met, is because we are both advocates with regards to quality education. And I will go to Tallahassee and I will be a strong advocate for even more opportunity. I'm a candidate that wants to have the money follow the child. I will say that school choice, when it comes to states that have school choice, Florida is a good state. But one of the things that I continue to tell people is that unless you are in bucket one or bucket two, meaning bucket one is for low socioeconomic and bucket two is for disabled children, you're really kind of left up to your own devices because there isn't that support. For example, in an interview, I mentioned that if a child's family makes $100 more than the cap on the socioeconomic income level, then they are sentenced to their zip code, whether it be a good school or a bad school. And so we need to have the money follow the child. And so that not only supports choice, but it also provides parents the opportunity to pay for homeschooling. Right now, it's out of pocket. A lot of people, a lot of parents have to pay out of pocket for private school. Well, those parents are taxpayers just as all other homeowners are taxpayers and people who pay their taxes within the state of Florida. And so we need to ensure that the parents are the ones who are deciding on the type of education and the educational environment that they want their child to be in. So that's one of the reasons that I'm running, is to continue to be an advocate. And I've been an advocate for many years. I've served on a public school board and I am a policy geek. And I feel that my next step is to go to the legislature and work on legislation that promotes and supports parents and students and their educational options. So
well, that is exactly what we need. So I'm going to ask you a pointed question. When the Florida Citizens Alliance, when we got together and we looked at the bill, which was about choice, and the choice was having the parents opt out of any education in K through six that would be directing a child into transgenderism. We said in this bill that from K to six, that there should be no transgenderism taught in school, that the concentration should be on reading, writing, math, and making sure that the child has a skill set that will enable them to move forward and include common sense, reasoning, and ability. It was shot down by the Republican Florida legislature headed by president of the Senate. And instead of encompassing K through six, the bill came out as K through three. What would you have supported? What do you feel is the important threshold? Entire elementary school? Or do you think after third grade, they have so much wisdom that they know everything already and can go into other topics?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I believe that God gave parents children, not a government institution. I also believe that when you are a minor, the law says when you are a minor, you are under the purview and the responsibility of your parents. And that should include education. It shouldn't just be for certain things, it should be for all things. And so I would say we need to have a bill that eliminates these social socialistic and social directing elements in education, indoctrination, I'll say, we need to have it out of K-12, period. No K-3, no K-6. It needs to be K-12. Again, parents are the responsibility for their they bear the burden of the responsibility for their children. And as a friend of mine frequently says, which you know, Miss Laura Zork, she says, just because her children go to a public school does not mean that she gives up her rights as a parent once they walk into that building. And I wholeheartedly agree with that.
I could not agree more. I always say, when I was a teacher, I loved my kids for the year that they were with me. Nobody loved them more. I looked after them. I took care of them. However, I partnered with their parents because I realized that the next year when they left my class, they wouldn't have me around anymore to be watching over them. Their parents would still be there. Of course, their parents would be there. So the idea that when you drop your child off at school, that the responsibility now becomes the school's responsibility, absolutely not at all. You are a parent for life. Your child is yours for life. It doesn't say for fifth grade or sixth grade. It's for life. And part of that problem, I believe, is the fact that the parents are being taught to give up their rights to the school. And when that happens, where do we go? Because the child belongs to the parents. And I'm so glad you said that. This is part of what we consider our freedom. It is our choice to have the child. The state doesn't come and say, here's a license, although John Holdren, our former science czar, wanted to do that, give people a license in order to be able to have children so that the state could monitor them. No, this is part of our freedom and liberty to be able to have our children as we wish and to be able to educate them as we wish. How do you feel about homeschool, Karen?
I think that any parent that chooses to homeschool should have the right to do that, and they should be able to utilize at least a portion of, if not all of, I would be an advocate for getting all of their per pupil cost to educate their child. But many people who are against school choice say, well, just send your kid to private school or homeschool them and stuff. Well, there's a cost to doing private school and homeschool as well. And if we're looking at economic status, then we need to look at economic status for everyone. And just because you make below a certain amount doesn't give you the privilege, I'll say, of choosing your educational environment for your child. Regardless of parental income and how, you know, how their economic status is derived, I'll say, doesn't negate the fact that they pay taxes and that they should have a right to utilize their tax dollars as they see fit and that's best for their child. So we need to rethink how we're slicing and dicing the educational environment. We need to rethink what we're actually supporting. And there again, I go back and I reiterate what you just said a few minutes ago. Children in school need to be taught the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic. They don't need to be told about Marxism, taught about Marxism. They don't need to be taught all these theories. They don't need to be directed with regards to their social and emotional learning, which sounds good, but it's not used in that manner. There again, let's go back to it's the parents who are responsible for the social aspect of their children's upbringing, for the moral and integrity aspect of their child's upbringing, for the belief system. You know, what foundation do you stand on? That is not a government system's role. That is a parental role. And we need to rethink what we're doing as an education system.
Yes, I believe that we also need to review the purposes of education, because it's becoming more and more aware to me that the focus is on mental health, which folks, when your child, no matter what it is, experiences something, out of the ordinary. That goes on their record, which now will stay with them through life. So if your child has a mental crisis for whatever reason, and you as the parent are not involved and the school takes it over, when that child graduates, whatever that action was stays with that child. And if we read Obamacare, once someone is identified as having a mental illness, whatever it is, ACD, OCD, autism, it does not matter. But any kind of mental break, immediately, the first thing that's going to happen is that they will be deemed a mental problem and will be, could be, I say will, could be picked up by their local sheriff and Baker acted for 72 hours. That means put in a mental institution for 72 hours as they are observed. But what does that mean going forward? Well, if you have a mental problem as part of Obamacare, that says you will have to give up your guns. So if we go back and look at history and we see how did all of these incredible countries fail, the first thing that happened was they collected the guns. So no matter what they are saying, we have to go forward and look and see what is the ramification of that? Where is it going to go for years or the next year or the next year? What will happen to my child when my child goes for a job? Okay, so they had a bad year in school. They acted out. They didn't find their fit. Well, is that going to stain their record forever? And the answer to that is yes. So we have to be very careful what we wish for and make sure that when we say mental illness, it really has substance behind it. And it's not something that is arbitrarily taken out because that is what communists do. They make a law and then they do nothing about it. But all of a sudden, the opposition, they will say, oh, I see in your record in the eighth grade you had a whatever, and therefore a mental breakdown and you can't have guns. And they will point that at their opposition. So they use the laws selectively, which is in total opposition to what America is all about. And this is part of why the kids do not know about America and they don't know about the values or about what's happening. And that's why we have to elect principled people who have actually read, and I know, Karen, you have read the Constitution. You know what it stands for. You know what it means. So what does the Constitution mean to you?
Well, the Constitution is the foundation of our country, our republic. We are a constitutional republic, and it gives the federal government limited powers. To me, the overarching aspects of the federal constitution fall into three buckets: the monetary system, commerce, and safety or security or a strong military, I'll say. Okay. Those, in my mind, are the three basic buckets that the Constitution clearly identifies they have a responsibility for. Now, some people will argue that there's, you know, it's not necessarily black and white, but irregardless, there's something called the 10th Amendment in the Constitution. And that states that when it is not clear in the federal constitution or the U.S. Constitution on a particular issue or subject, then it falls to the states to decide. And to me, the bulk of what goes on in our lives falls under the state's jurisdiction, I'll say. And so that's where, going back to what you just said with regards to laws, that's one of the reasons why I'm running for the House, is because I want common sense laws. I want laws that we're not going to be able to protect everyone from everything. And that's where we have to be discerning and, you know, intelligent decision makers. But legislation needs to get back to some common sense. And do we really need to have this in place in order to prevent that happening? To me, legislation over the years, at least my experience of, you know, working on Capitol Hill and then, you know, being here, being in at the state level now, a lot of times legislation is reactionary. Something happens and, oh my gosh, we got to make a law to prevent that from happening again. Well, I'm here to tell you that just because you have a law doesn't mean you're going to prevent anything, because there are people who ignore the law. And I think we see that all the time. In the last 2 years have clearly brought that into the forefront of what we have been viewing and observing. So there again, we need to be mindful of what kind of laws are we talking about. Even at the state level, there needs to be limitations, because we have individual freedoms as a citizen within our lives, and we need to preserve and protect those freedoms, such as gun ownership, such as property rights, such as educating our children and stuff. And we don't need the government to continue to barrage us with legislation after legislation after legislation that erodes our freedoms. We've seen our freedoms eroding for decades already, and they've been exponentially eroding over the last couple of years, and it's coming down from the federal, and the states need to stand up to the feds and say, enough is enough. And I applaud Governor DeSantis for the efforts that he has made with regards to pushing back against the federal and telling us, you're not going to force the jab on us. You're not going to force the masking on us. You're not going to force us, you know, to do X, Y, and Z that the feds continue to change their mind on and redefine. So there again, you know, that's why we need some common sense. We need some reality checks. And we need people who are interested in serving their constituents, not serving the system.
Absolutely. And we also have to understand that many of our people running for office, especially many that I have spoken to, when I ask them, had they read the Constitution, they say yes. And then I say, did you read the Florida Constitution? And they look at me like I have three heads. Every state has a constitution.
Yes, they do. Yes.
And part of being a representative is knowing your state constitution. Mm-hmm. And when you don't know your state constitution, you let things like that slip by. We have a big problem in Florida in our economy because of public-private partnerships, which are nothing more than fascism, whereby the government is telling a private corporation, I can't demand people to wear masks. Our state has to be on top of the fact that the federal government should not be directing corporations to act in their behalf. Mm-hmm. It's one thing if a corporation makes a law that says we won't require masks, but to have the federal government tell the corporation, that's what happens when you have a public-private partnership. Normally, what should happen is if I want a road built, I send it out to bid. Contractors come, they bid on it, and the state just says, okay, we'll pick contractor X, and here's what the state, what the corporation is going to do. Net result is the road is going to be built the way the state wants, period. But the state does not tell the contractor how to fill the pothole. The state does not tell the contractor where to put the lines. The contractor does that. The state is not involved. But when the state gets involved, they have indescribable things happening, like, of all places, Disney in Florida, now demanding that K through three children be involved in transgenderism. Disney, folks, this is Disney Corporation that does movies, documentaries, all kinds of audio visual with theme parks, characters that have been known throughout the years that have been promoting wonderful things, all of a sudden are now promoting transgenderism. What do you think of that one, Karen? That's a biggie.
Well, it's a shame that that corporations are trying to preserve their bottom line. Let's face it. That's what it's all about. It's about profit and making profits. And I don't begrudge any business to making a profit. One of the things that irritated me over the last couple of years, and this is why I choose not to go to Walmart anymore, is because the government was shutting down the small mom and pop businesses, which is the backbone of our communities. But they were allowing the Walmarts and the Targets and the big corporations to keep their stores open as long as they masks and check temperatures and, you know, all that kind of stuff that we went through. And that is backwards. Most definitely, that's backwards. We should be supporting local industry. We should be supporting local businesses. We should be encouraging our communities to have businesses that support the demographics and the needs of the community. This whole, you know, conglomerate, and yes, I understand that there are, you know, there's needs for large corporations. You know, not everybody can build an airplane. And I used to, you know, do federal contracting for Department of Defense. And so I know that not everybody can do a, you know, submarine communication system, for example. But with regards to our communities, you know, we need to be able to support those and not put extensive, demanding, crushing regulations and demands on these businesses and stuff. And for, you know, Disney, coming back to the Disney thing, for them to go down this woke road, they are pandering to the politicians big time, and they are concerned with their profit margin. Well, I hope that the people rise up, because the people are the ones who attend and go to their theme parks. They're the ones who buy their products. And I just hope and pray that the people are there. Their voice rings louder than any politician's voice and any government's voice with regards to having an impact on the future of the Disney Corporation.
And now is the time to vote with your pocketbook and stop spending money on woke corporations, just as Dr. Karen Heltz said. Karen, we're coming to the end of the show, and I want people to know where they can find you, because it will be absolutely refreshing to have representatives in the Florida House who actually believe in family, community, and the individual. So please tell everyone where they can find you.
They can find me at Dr. Karen Hiltz for Florida House on Facebook. They can go to my website, karenhiltz.com. And again, I ask that because this is a campaign, we need to raise money. So please go and donate. I'm running for District 30 in the state of Florida, which is on the East Coast, which is Indian River County and a small portion of southeastern Brevard County. And please support us, get us to Tallahassee. I will be an advocate for my constituents and the things that we've talked about on this program today.
And that would be wonderful. This is what we need in our legislature, folks. We need people who will support the family, support America, support individualism, and support our Constitution and freedoms. Thank you so much for joining me, Karen, and please, I will have you come back so that you can tell us how your campaign is going. Folks, you're listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. Don't go away. I will be right back.
In today's world, there's no escaping the headlines filled with warnings about emerging viruses and dangerous superbugs. Genesis is the only technology that safely and effectively obliterates harmful pathogens both in the air and on surfaces. Genesis plus HOCL neutralize these threats to your environment in just seconds. Find out more about this amazing technology at genesisfogger.com/outloud for a 15% discount. With Genesis, you'll be prepared for what's next.
The spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. We are the voice of a nation, the American nation, that is. This is Malcolm Out Loud. I invite you back to AmericaOutloud.com, where the fight for liberty and justice continues. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Dr. Vladimir Zelenko knows a thing or two about the immune system. He was nominated for a Nobel Prize for his early COVID-19 treatments, and now he's offering his Z-Stack supplements to our listeners at a discount. Just go to zstacklife.com/freedom. That's zstacklife.com/freedom.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education. And we are brought to you live on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network every Saturday and Sunday at 1 and 9. And that would be on Eastern Time. And also my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance, who has done amazing work. And I have one big thank you to the Alliance, not only for doing the work that you're doing, but for supporting the people that are helping. And I wanted to tell everyone that I was just selected. Actually, the email says I have been identified and approved by the State Department of Education as a subject matter expert qualified to create original resources for the K-12 civics curriculum and or the K-12 integrated civics curriculum. I am very excited, folks, and I would not have gotten there if it was not for the help of the wonderful people that I work with, especially at the Alliance. If you don't have an Alliance in your state, you need to start one, because it is only with lots of people behind you that your voice will be heard. And that is one of the beauties of working with the Alliance. No one is saying get rid of the group you're in and only do that. What we are saying is that if the heads of organizations come together and do a push on a bill, guess what? We have a good chance of getting it passed. Except, of course, in this Florida legislature, where it seems as though we have the president of the Senate, Wilton Simpson, and the speaker of the House, Chris Sprouse, who don't seem to be listening. They're on their own idea of what Florida should be. And I believe that they're paying too much attention to their special interest groups. But enough from me. I have brought Pastor Rick Stevens, who's one of the founding members of the Alliance, with me today because session is over. And we want to go through the wonderful things that were passed and not passed so that you in your state can do the same thing. And of course, we will look at all the other states. That's the purpose of America. 50 unique states doing 50 unique things, and yet everyone coming together on certain issues. That's the whole idea of America, getting together for national issues, but maintaining important state issues like education. And we seem to have lost sight of that. But welcome, Pastor Rick. Thank you so much for joining me. It is always a pleasure. And I'd like to talk about some of the wonderful bills and some of the not so wonderful things that went on in the Florida House and Senate in session this year. And the one that gets my hair up on the back of my neck is the fact that we worked very hard on 1305, which said pornographic materials should not be given to minors. And yet it was never even heard and nobody had a chance to vote on it. What a shame. Imagine that our legislators think that it is okay to give pornographic material to minors. How does that work, Pastor?
Well, I don't know how that works. And that's a compelling question. We ought to all be asking how that works, because we've been fighting this battle for a long time, as you know, and trying to get the attention of the legislature. And it seems that some of them pay attention. We've had some heroic members of the legislature step up and be sponsors of the legislation. But it seems like they always run into a stopping point someplace. And we think that that always goes back to the Speaker of the House, as you mentioned, and the President of the Senate, because they are the people in both chambers who can make or break legislation. And so, yes, we're disappointed. We think children need to be protected and preserved. We think our materials in our schools need to be pristine and not have any risk of any of this kind of stuff. There's no reason for it, no need for it. And we think that the legislature ought to step up, since the school districts aren't. And of course, they could. Every school district in Florida could fix this problem, but they have stonewalled that and defended it and not taken decisive action. So we keep asking the legislature, will you do something so that the schools understand the right thing to do? And here we are again, wondering why they wouldn't advance this legislation. It's a good question. We need to find out the why.
Yes, we do. And that is a good question to vet new candidates. And that's why we're doing this, folks, because having somebody come and talk to you and not tell you their issues and how they actually will govern using the issues so that it gives you a chance to determine, I like those issues, I don't like those issues, I would vote for that person because they support what I want, or I won't vote for that person. And you saw a perfect example before with Dr. Karen Heltz. She didn't spend time on her autobiography. She spent time on the issues and what was important. So if you are running for office, folks, people can read how many children you have, all of those things about your family life. And that's important, but it's not the most important. Right now, today in Florida, what is of utmost importance is understanding what the people want, because they are the ones that put you in office. And that's the way a representative government works. There is so much misunderstanding about the new bill. I mean, even calling it Don't Say Gay, Pastor, what is that all about when gay is not even in that bill?
Well, it's clearly an attempt to demagogue the bill and distract from what the bill really says and does. And now we understand that political wars get fought with rhetoric. And so we understand why people craft rhetoric. It's a little harder. No, that's correct. That it's a lot harder to understand when people lie about a bill. And that's what's been happening with this Don't Say Gay. Nothing in the bill at all says don't say gay. What the bill does is it prohibits instruction on these controversial issues in our K through 12 classrooms. Now, that's key. It prohibits instruction. So the school cannot craft a curriculum or have a teacher teach a certain perspective or information like this. It just says, leave it alone. And we think that makes all the sense in the world, because children at that age don't need to have their innocence disturbed. They don't need to be confused by things that they don't understand. I remind people, and I've said so many times over these kind of controversial issues in our schools, is that when I had children, and most of us say to our children, when you go to school, listen to what the teacher says, do your work, and don't get in trouble, you know, those kind of things. We want to support what goes on in our schools. So our children go off to school, and if they're exposed to some of these kinds of ideas that are controversial and outside our moral framework, they don't know what to do with that, because they don't even know to bring it home to mom and dad and ask the questions. They are so innocent that they don't know how to ask it. And so it just upsets them, causes confusion. And we don't need that kind of turmoil for our kids. Let our kids be kids. There's plenty of time when they get older for their parents to introduce them to the controversial kind of things and explain to them what's right and what's wrong. We don't need our teachers being burdened with one more thing that the parents don't approve of in our K through third grade classrooms. It's just kind of outrageous. And there's more to the bill than that, of course, because while they want to characterize it by this cute little phrase that is totally inaccurate, that is a don't say gay bill, what they're not letting parents and everybody else understand is that the title of the bill is Parents' Rights in Education. And a huge component of the bill, I mean, very significant part of it, is that it requires school boards to be transparent with the parents. They have to put in place policies and procedures that support parental involvement, that support parents knowing what goes on. It makes sure they don't put any procedures in place that would keep parents from knowing. It's a very comprehensive and well-written bill so that parents know what's happening in the schools. This idea of transparency in the schools is huge, and a lot of people don't realize that they're being, lied to by not being given information. Well, how do you know what you don't know? And if parents don't know these things, they can't help the kids. They can't be involved in their kids' life appropriately. And it's simply inappropriate. Actually, it's a question of right and wrong. It's simply wrong for schools to withhold information from the parents of these children. The parents have the responsibility for these children, and they need to be supported, and the school has no business hiding things. And that's a very, very, let me say it again, very significant part of this bill, that it's transparency and involving the parents in every aspect of their child, both their educational well-being, but also their physical well-being and their emotional and mental well-being. We can't hide this stuff from the parents, and we must not. And we need to protect our children to preserve their innocence.
As you were talking, I'm beginning to see so many similarities between the 60s and 70s and what is going on today. And I believe, I don't know if you remember, but I do, a report written by a Dr. Kenzie. And that seems to be the rule that is now being followed. Well, what was this report about? Dr. Kenzie decided that all human beings are sexually oriented and they are guided by their sexual activity. And he even went so far as to say that babies of 3 months old are enjoying sexual activity. So here we have this whole group of people that have been immersed in sex and sexual activity only to believe that there is nothing wrong to be guided in your lifestyle by sexual ideology rather than learning how to read, write, do math, so that you can become and be informed about decisions that you will make. When you take a group of people and you only feed them emotional things, they only work emotionally. And we see that happening, as Pastor just said. Gay is not even mentioned in this bill. And yet we have corporations like Disney and their workers who probably even never read the bill, demonstrating, saying that the bill is against gay people. No, it isn't. It doesn't even mention gay people. All it's doing, as Pastor said, is making sure that children from the ages of K through third grade actually get an education. This is the time when they should be formulating their skills. They should be working on their reading, writing, and math, not sexual activity. And that is what we have found in the schools. You can go on the Florida Citizens Alliance website, and there is actually a listing of the tech of the books that you would be able to find in your media centers that are there today that are basically only involved in sex. And this is what our children are reading. Therefore, we cannot be surprised if trafficking is off the charts, child pornography is off the charts, and worst of all, sex slavery is off the charts. This is a horrific thing to do to our children, but it's also, I think it even goes back further than that. And I think that this is what their parents have, many of the parents have been taught to believe, so that when it happens to their children, they don't see anything wrong with it. And I think that is what has been going on. So this is not just this generation, but thank goodness this generation is waking up and being able to do that. What do you think about Disney going off the charts? Where do they think their customers are going to be coming from once they realize that Disney is just focused on gay and sex? I think the inmates are running the asylum in Disney now. I don't think corporate has anything to do with it anymore, or they have accepted this idea. I don't get it. What do you think, Pastor?
A lot of us don't get it. We understand that there are controversies out there, but we don't understand why a company like Disney seems to bow to this kind of pressure. Disney for years has been trying to promote itself and sell its products to families and children as family friendly, as entertainment that parents can trust, that will not harm their children, but will entertain their children and maybe teach them a good moral lesson that we can all agree on, like don't steal. Well, now all of a sudden, Disney, in promoting these kinds of things and supporting them, seems to be attempting to insert themselves between the parents and the children. When they promote something that says these controversial things should be taught in school, then they're introducing something that gets between the parents and the children. And why would a company that claims they want people to support their products, come to their theme parks, all of that kind of stuff, why would they want to undermine the relationship between parents and children when it's the parents who are going to be deciding their entertainment options going forward. It really doesn't make any sense. It's as though Disney is totally unaware that the parents notice what's going on, and parents will notice this, and they will start to make different decisions about their entertainment. And Disney should recognize that, you know, if your business is not related to these hot button issues, you should leave those hot button issues alone. Don't drag them into your business just because you're pressured to run your business and do the right thing and let the other things work themselves out in a different environment.
Also, folks, remember, especially going to your school board meetings when you hear this kind of information, 0.5% of the population is gay. 0.5. So if they continue to call America a democracy, which it's not, which means majority rules, why are 99.5% being tossed out and only the 5%, 0.5% being heard? That is a disgrace. So please use that information. Take it with you when you talk to these people. I'm part of the 95%. I don't walk around that says, my name is Karen Schoen and I'm heterosexual and I have a husband and blah, blah, blah. I don't do that. Why do I have to be interested in what you do when your door is closed? I'm interested in what quality of a person you are. I'm interested in what your values are. I am not interested in what you do in your bedroom. It does not make any difference to me, and I could care less. But if you come up with a program that says, I'm going to take away your guns, I don't care about your sex life. I want to talk about your guns. And by the way, that's another one that happened in Florida this year. We had a bill to repeal the red flag law, which is part and parcel, I found out, with Obamacare, which says that anyone involved in any mental health issue cannot have a gun. So a sheriff could be called if I say, Pastor Rick is acting crazy, so I think you ought to go over there and investigate him. And without a hearing, without anything, this red flag law says pastor could go to the sheriff and the sheriff could come, could get a warrant without any of you being involved. The sheriff could get a warrant, go to your house, Baker Act you, which means that you would be put in a mental institution for 72 hours and take away your guns. How is that any American issue? This is not. But this is what happens when laws are passed with a knee-jerk reaction. This law was passed as a knee-jerk reaction to Parkland. Not only did it do that with regard to mental health, but it also said that you have to be 21 to own a gun. So you could be in the army, you could be a trained marksman, and when you get out of the army, if you're not 21, you can't have a gun in the state of Florida. All of these things are put together to constrict and control the people. And as we see what's going on right now, I believe that guns are going to be the next target. Once they, quote, get rid of all of the fossil fuel that the government and the EPA are screaming about, you can rest assured that the next thing that will be attacked will be the erosion of our Second Amendment rights, as they will be demanding gun registry, which they just passed in that omnibus bill. And this is a new deal that we have to look at. Pastor, I wanted to ask you a question. What do you think about all of these legislators that pass bills without even reading them?
Well, you got to think about that and you got to wonder about that. I know that in the Florida House and Senate, there are many bills that are filed. I also know that many of the bills are not very long and not very complicated, and they could understand them in less than a minute. So I think our legislators need to take their responsibility seriously to examine the language, the same as everybody else needs to. I know they have lots of support from their legislative aides, and that's good. They can rely on that support. That's why the state and we, the taxpayers, provide them. But there's no excuse for not knowing what's in the bill. There's no excuse for not doing your own homework. It simply must be that our legislators need to take that seriously, because how can they represent us if they don't even know what's going on in the legislation? It's a daunting job, but they signed up to do it, so we need them to do it, not just to depend on somebody else telling them what to do, how to vote, where to go, all those kind of things. Very important for them to be independent and make their own decisions. And interestingly enough, I have seen the decision of two state of Florida representatives impact. They made a voting decision. Let me clarify it that way. One voted one way, the other voted the other way. And the result of that single issue and their decisions, one on one side of the issue, one on the other, changed an election and won that election for one of those candidates, because it was that single thing. Every vote makes a difference, and they need to consider it carefully and be well informed and think about the consequences. Absolutely.
And I think that that would be a really good vetting question. Will you read the bills before you sign anything? Or how about, let's take the bills and make them single issue bills, so that we're not passing bills that nobody knows what's in them, because it's pointed at one direction. When it's pointed at one direction, it's a lot easier to understand. It's a lot easier to read. Unfortunately, that's why they write them that way. They don't want us to read them. They don't want us to understand them. They want us to be surprised when they find a paragraph in a bill and they can apply it to their enemy. That's what these bills, these big omnibus bills, are all about. They don't expect you to know what they are. What they expect you to do is be able to pick and choose who you're going to go after for not following a law, or for following whatever it is that they don't want you to follow. So this is the way they go. This is the way communists go after their enemies. Globalists go after their enemies. And believe me, folks, Biden is one of the biggest globalists. If you heard him the other day, he even said, we must have a new world order. Where did we hear that before? Man, that was straight out of the old volume called Agenda 21. This is what we are following. There's a wonderful video, and it's a very short one, and you may want to take a look at it. Just go to YouTube and in the search bar put in Don't Cry For Me, Argentina/America. It's about a 5-minute video, and it describes how Argentina, which was exactly like America with all of its riches and its vast resources. Well, what was the first thing that happened in Argentina for a communist takeover? The people surrendered their guns. And then the communists took over. And today, Argentina, one of the wealthiest countries in the world, now looks like downtown San Francisco, coming soon to America. And just listen to the arrogance of these people. Today in California, they've actually asked the drivers who are driving electric cars not to use them as much, not to plug in as much, because they don't have enough power. Just think about what they're saying, folks. In a traffic jam, when your electric car dies, where do you go and take that can to pick up electricity? There is no gas can of electricity. You know, we're out of electricity, you're out. So how is that going to work, folks, if you're in a state like California who that already messed up its electric grid, and now they're telling their drivers, don't drive, please, because we don't have enough power? Do you see and understand the stupidity of these people? Here's another one that I read. Romney, the Rhino, has sided with the Democrats to keep the mask mandate on for little kids, even though they know it does not work. Now, why would he do that? Well, I started investigating to see what Romney was doing. And lo and behold, what did I find? He is heavily invested in the 3M corporation that makes the masks. Isn't that a surprise? So I will mandate that masks must be used, whether or not they are worthwhile, whether or not they destroy our children so that I can make money. This is who we have running our country. And what we have to do is make sure that when these criminals come home, we hold them accountable for the votes that they made. Because if we do not, who will? Nobody. And that is exactly what we have to make sure never happens. Pastor, thank you so much for joining me today. And can we leave with a prayer? Because right now, as always, America is in desperate need of a prayer.
Well, absolutely. And I want to also make sure that I lend my congratulations to you. You mentioned that the civics opportunity earlier on, and people should really understand that's so significant. And we at the Florida Citizens Alliance are really excited that you were able to do that. It also points out to people the importance of persistence, because you don't give up. You just keep working on these things and look what happened. And that's a very good thing. So we want to congratulate you, and we hope everybody will realize what a great thing that is. And we hope you'll keep us posted on what's going on with that, because that's a great opportunity to have an enormous positive influence on a whole bunch of school children. So thanks for what you do and keep it up. We appreciate what you do.
Thank you. I'm excited too. I appreciate your help.
Absolutely. We're happy to do that. Well, let's pray and ask the Lord to intervene, because when we find ourselves in a spot where we don't know what to do and can't see a way through, we know someone who does. And so let's ask him to help us. Father, we are grateful that we can trust you. We know that you know the end from the beginning. You understand the mess we sometimes find ourselves in, and you understand how we sometimes are tempted to give up hope. But we want to ask you again today to help us as a country, help us as free people to understand the rights that you have given us, help us to have the courage to stand up for those rights and to point the way forward, help us to resist the efforts to keep us down and to enslave and tyrannize us. We will not be contained, because you have given us this liberty, and we will fight and work to protect and preserve that. Give us grace for these days, that our attitudes will be good, but that our resolve will be steadfast. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Folks, have a wonderful week. See you again next week. This is Karen Schoen. You've been listening to The Prism of America's Education. Please understand that the only way that communism works is through education. We must be diligent in what our children are learning. And I am really proud to be part of the civics education in Florida, because at least I know our children will understand the workings of our government, which is a republic, not a democracy. Thank you to the Florida Citizens Alliance, my wonderful sponsor. It has been a pleasure, as always. Thank you, Pastor Rick. And I will see you all again next week. But I always stand proud and free. I'm America. Don't tread on me. I'm America. Yes, America.